Good morning. You are welcome to our worship service. Wherever you are listening or watching, we want you to know that we have you in mind. We are praying for you and we are hoping that the Lord is keeping you safe and healthy and that you are following all the precautionary measures that you need to follow at this time. Please join us as we sing this song. But before we start, may you please pray with me. Father, I thank you again for this moment, for giving us a time like this to come together from different parts of the nation and from where we are despite the social distancing. I thank you that you can enable us to connect and to share your word, to encourage one another, to remind ourselves that we have you, and when we have you, we have everything. I pray that you may use this message and the song to bless our hearts, to minister to us, and to remind us that we can rely on you because you are in control. In Jesus' name, amen. Please join us and sing along with us. Thank you. Okay, you are welcome again. That was a great song reminding us the power of the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Just to remind you, last Sunday we saw Moses at the burning bush. He is still at the burning bush. He is humbled at the presence of God. The Lord has come down to rescue His people, and He appeared here from the burning bush to purposely invite Moses to be involved in what He is doing. He is inviting Moses to be involved in His mission. But we see Moses here expressing doubts. Moses wasn't aware of the task ahead of him. But now that he knows, he is responding differently. Please turn with me to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3, we're going to read verse number 11 to verse number 15. Exodus chapter 3, from 11 to verse number 15. I'm reading from NIV. But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" And God said, "I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain." Moses said to God, "Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you.' And they ask me, 'What is his name?' Then what shall I tell them?" And God said to Moses, "I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you." God also said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, 'The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you.' This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation." If the Bible is the Word of God, and if we are God's children, then the Bible is God's Word for us. Please pray with me. Father, I thank you. I thank you for your Word. I thank you for the good plans that you have for us. You are a great Father. You are a great Father not because we are good, but because you are good. You give us hope. You give us peace. You remind us, despite all the challenges that we face, despite all the weaknesses that we have, despite all our inconsistencies, you remind us that you love us and that your love is everlasting. We pray that, Lord, you may speak to us, that your Holy Spirit may teach us, and that you may be glorified through this message. In Jesus' name, amen. So Moses, at first, when God called his name from the burning bush, when he called his name, Moses, Moses, at first it appeared as if Moses was willing to do whatever God wanted him to do, because his response was, "Here am I." Kind of suggesting that he was at God's service. It was a humbling response when the Lord told him to take off his shoes, and he took off his shoes. It was a show of humility. He understood that he was facing the Lord. He understood that this is the mighty God. This was his first experience. But he understood that this is the God that I've heard about. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But then God tells him that I have come down to rescue my people because I have heard their cry, I have seen their suffering, and I am concerned about them. I have come down to rescue them, and I am sending you. This is not what Moses was expecting. Now, he has to think of Egypt. The idea of going back to Egypt wasn't a welcome idea to Moses. He wasn't ready for it. He wasn't prepared for it. Especially because he knows that he ran from Egypt. He is wanted there for murder. He killed someone. So the idea of going back was not fashionable to him. It wasn't attractive to him. And we see him expressing his doubts in two particular questions that we are going to focus on today. These are very important questions. I would say that these are questions that each of us needs to ask so that we can have the confidence that we need as Christians to be used by God the way He wants to use us. The first question that Moses asks is in Exodus chapter 3 verse 11. Look at verse 11. He says, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Who am I?" In other words, Moses is saying, "God, you should know that I tried this and I failed. You should understand the kind of person that I am. You don't know how weak I am. You don't know how limited I am. You don't know that I killed someone in Egypt. Do you know my experience, God? Who am I? Who am I that I should go to Egypt and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" Moses here is struggling with his own identity. He feels inadequate. He feels unprepared. He feels unqualified. Who am I? He looks at himself. He looks at his abilities. He looks at his experience. And the only thing Moses can say is, "I am not the right person. I don't qualify. God, you have chosen the wrong person for the right job." Moses is thinking that God is making a mistake here. Moses is struggling with his own identity. And I believe there are many of us that look at ourselves and the only thing we can think of ourselves is, "I'm not qualified. I'm not the right person." There are some of us that God has been wanting to use us in many ways. And you know that He has been calling you. He has been asking you to do something, to be involved. But you look at yourself. You look at your weaknesses. You look at your inconsistencies. You look at your experiences. You look at your past. And the only thing you can say is, "Who am I? I'm not the right person, God. Look somewhere else. Maybe Mary can do it better than me. Maybe you should look for John. John is a better Christian than me. Maybe you should look for Joseph, God, but not me. I'm not there yet." This is what Moses is thinking about himself. Let's look at God's response. How does God respond to Moses? Look at verse 12. And God said, I will be with you. I will be with you. And this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. God is saying, Moses, it's not about what you can do or what you cannot do. It's about me. It's about what I can do. It's about what I want to do. God is saying to Moses, Moses, this has nothing to do with your experience. This has nothing to do with how you see yourself. This has everything to do with what I intend to do. It has everything to do with how you see me. God is saying to Moses, Moses, how you see yourself doesn't matter. It's how I see you and what I want to do through you and with you that matters. See, brothers and sisters, our identity has to be in our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that we should identify with. Not our qualifications, not our past, not our experiences, but the Lord Himself. God could have reminded Moses of his qualifications. Moses was raised as an Egyptian prince. He probably got the best education one could get. He is qualified to lead the people. But this is not why God is appearing to him. This is not why God is inviting him. This is not why God wants to use him. In the end, God wants to be glorified. And God doesn't want Moses to focus on his own abilities or his own qualifications or his own skills. God wants Moses to focus on him. And that's why he's telling Moses here, I will be with you. And let me speak to someone here that has been feeling unqualified for God's work. All of us are unqualified for God's work. Because God's work, like I said last Sunday, is God's size. When God calls us to do something, it is usually bigger than ourselves. That's why we must rely on Him. God calls us to something that is bigger than ourselves because He wants us to rely on Him. And here He's telling Moses, Moses, I will be with you. And he's telling him, after you have delivered them, you will come to this mountain and worship me. So as far as God is concerned, this is a done deal. God knows that it's going to happen and you will get back here and you will worship me. God is telling Moses, Moses, you need to trust me because I will be with you. It has nothing to do with what you can do. It has everything to do with what I can do. If you are here, if you are listening to this message, or you are watching the video, and you are one of those people that has been looking at herself or himself and thinking, wow, I have wasted my life, I have done things that I regret, things that makes me unqualified before God. I have been nothing but a disappointment to God. If that's how you feel, and the enemy of our faith will bring those thoughts to us. If that's how you feel about yourself, let me remind you, God is with you. It's not about what you have done. It's about what God wants to do. If you feel inadequate, You feel unprepared. You feel unqualified. You are the right person for God to use. Because guess what? It's not about your strength. It's about His power. And there are two lessons I can give you from this experience that Moses is getting here and the response that we are getting from God. One is, when God calls us to serve Him, when He calls us to serve Him, He serves with us. We don't serve God without God. When He calls us to ministry, we do ministry with God, because ministry is God's. When He calls us to serve in Him, He serves with us. He serves through us. I look at this ministry that the Lord has called me to. I look at the people and the challenges that we have, the challenges that we face. And I can look at myself, and many times I look at myself and I can confess that this is not something that I can do. It is impossible for me to lead God's people. And then I'm reminded that I'm not doing it on my own. I'm reminded that the Lord is with me. And every time I'm reminded that the Lord is with me, every time I'm reminded of His presence in my life, His presence in the ministry that He has called me to do, every time that I'm reminded of that, my heart is revived, my hopes are revived, and I find myself pressing on. See, God doesn't send us anywhere without Him taking the first step. When He calls us to serve, we serve with Him. Here's the second lesson we learn from here, from this text. When we despise ourselves, when God calls us to ministry and we despise ourselves, we contradict. When He calls us to do something and we despise ourselves, we are contradicting Him. We are telling Him, you are wrong. You've made a wrong choice. We are telling Him, you've picked the wrong person. You don't know what you are doing. We are contradicting God. God wants us to understand so that He knows how weak we are. And when He calls on us, when He gives us a task, it's not because He thinks we can do it. It's not because He thinks we have the strength to. It's because He knows that He can accomplish that task through us. Who am I? I will be with you. If that's the question you've been asking, the answer is simple. The Lord is with you. And if the Lord is with you, you will do it. You will do it. If the Lord is with you, you qualify to do it. So that's the first question that Moses is asking. Who am I? Let's look at the second question that he's asking. The second question he's asking is in verse 13. Exodus 3, verse number 13. Moses is asking, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, what is His name? Then what shall I tell them? So, who am I? The first question. The second question, who are you? I don't understand myself, God. I don't know myself, but I also don't know you. See, Moses is struggling here with his relationship with God. This is a question of intimacy. Moses is having a first experience with God here. He has heard about him. He has heard about his miracles. But this is first experience. And he's struggling. He doesn't know God well enough to describe him to the people that he's supposed to go and deliver. Who are you? And this is important for us. It's important for us to ask ourselves whether we know the Lord, the God that we worship, the God that we serve. Moses is struggling with his relationship with God. He wants to be assured of this God. He wants the full weight of divine authority behind him. He just doesn't want to go. He wants to be sure, God, you are the God, the only one, the one that I have heard about from my parents. Who are you? What is it that I can tell them about you? Listen to how God responds to Moses. His response is amazing. Look at verse 14. Verse 14, God says to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. I am whom I am. God is saying to Moses, I am the self-existent one. I will be what I will be. He's saying to Moses, I am everything that you need. Everything. Actually, this is what we get from this name. We get everything. God is saying, I am who I am. You cannot put me here or there. You cannot limit me to this or to that. I am everything that you need, Moses. And so when I'm sending you, I know everything that you need. You see, the Bible says that God knows our prayers even before we ask him. It's because God is all-knowing. He is everything that you and I may need. And this is what he's telling Moses. He's telling Moses, you can face Pharaoh and his armies. You can face the Egyptians because I am everything that you need to do that. He's telling Moses, you can deliver my people, Moses. You can go and you can lead them out because I am everything that you need to do that. God is telling Moses, you can rely on me all the time, anywhere you are, because I am everything that you need. He's telling Moses, you can have confidence in me. Stop focusing on yourself. You can focus on me. You can have all the confidence that you need to do what I'm asking you to do, because I am everything you need. And probably Moses was trying to figure this out. What does this mean? And probably God saw it. And so God continued with another response. Look at verse 15. He says to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever. The name you shall call me from generation to generation. God is telling Moses. Moses had heard about God being the Lord. This name had been used before. And so God is again pointing Moses here to the history of his people. He's telling him, go and tell them that the Lord, the God of your fathers, has sent me to you. The Lord. This name is translated in many ways. Some versions will call in Hebrew, actually didn't have vowels, but in a transliteration we got the name Yahweh and Jehovah or Yehovah. It's the same name. Bible scholars have been trying to really understand what it means. They still don't agree on its meaning. Moses was probably figuring out, maybe he never figured out exactly what it means. But God says here that I am the Lord. The Lord is God's special name. It appears 5,000 times in the Old Testament. In Exodus 15, verse 3, after the Israelites were delivered from Egypt, Moses said, the Lord is his name. As they were praising God for deliverance, he confesses, the Lord is his name. This name tells us that God is eternal and unchangeable. He is the Lord. He is self-existent. He is self-sufficient. It confirms what God had said to Moses. I am who I am. I am everything that you need. Let me give you some insight on God's name. In verse 14 and 15, what we have just read. These are some of the insights we get about God's name. Number one, God's name helps us know his character and his nature. His name helps us to know his character and his nature. We hear his name, it tells us about him, who he is. What does he do? He is the Lord. He is all over. He is the sufficient God that you and I need. He is the creator. He is the provider. He is everything that we need. Number two, God's name helps us know, it helps us to know him at a personal level. It helps us to know him at a personal level. If you look at your life as a believer, you must have come to a point of being convicted that God is the Lord. That he is everything you need. That he is self-sufficient and we can rely on him. That his promises are true. He is faithful. He created the world. He created you and me. He provides. He sustains. He saves. He secures. His name helps us to know him at a personal level. Number three, God's name assures us that we can rely on him. It helps us to know his character and his nature. It helps us to know him at a personal level. And it assures us that we can rely on him. It's a mysterious name. It's a mysterious name. We must agree that there are some things about God that we will never understand. There are things with God. There are things about God that we will never figure out. But guess what? It's because he is God. He is the Lord. So probably you're asking yourself, what does this got to do with me? Why is this important? Why do I need to know all this? Thank you for asking. This is the message that I have for you from this passage. The Lord is with us, and he is everything we need. See, this is the message that Moses needed to accept for him to do what God wanted him to do. He needed to understand that the Lord was going to be with him and that the Lord was everything that he would need. And this is the message that we need today, especially because of what is happening in our world today, because of the confusion that we are getting, because of the false prophecies that we are getting, because of everything that is going on. It's important for Christians to realize that the Lord is with us and he is everything we need. If you have been feeling lonely, you've been feeling isolated, you feel like the world is against you, you feel inadequate, you feel unqualified, you are afraid, you are distressed, the message I have for you is simple. The Lord is with you, and he is everything you need. He is with you, and he is everything we need. And I don't think there is any encouraging message that we need, or any encouraging message that we can get, than knowing that the Lord is with us and that he is everything that we need. He is our sufficient Savior, and he is all we need. Turn with me to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, and look at verse 58. John chapter 8, verse 58. Jesus said this. He said, "I tell you the truth." He was speaking to the Jews who did not believe in him. And he told them, "I'm telling you the truth. Before Abraham was, I am." Jesus is telling us here that the God who is saying to Moses that I am the God of Abraham, Jesus is saying, I was there before Abraham. And if he was there before Abraham, then he must have been the God of Abraham. He must have been the God that appeared to Moses. Jesus is telling us here that I am the Christ that came down, but I was there before. And he says that in John chapter 1 as well. He says that in the beginning there was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then he says in verse 14 that the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among men. Christ is the great I am. Look at verse 24 of John chapter 8. Again, he's speaking here. He says, if you don't believe that I am the one I claim to be, you will indeed die in your sins. Before Abraham I was, before Abraham was, I am. And if you don't believe that, you are going to die in your sins. Jesus is saying, I am the great I am that rescues people. In Moses' time, God appeared to Moses to rescue the children of Israel. The same God came in the person of Jesus Christ to deliver us from our sins. Jesus is the great I am who came down to save sinners. And if you've never believed in Jesus, then you have an opportunity to do that so that your sins can be forgiven. Because when he died on the cross, he was providing an opportunity for each one of us to turn to him, to be forgiven, and to be saved. And when you get saved, you receive eternal life. That means you are going to live your life with Christ here on earth, and after here, you will live your life with him in glory, in heaven. Jesus Christ is the great I am who came down to save sinners. And I am pleading with you, if you have never believed in Jesus, this is the time you can do it. You just need to believe in your heart and call upon Him. Ask Him to forgive you and to save you from your heart. And He promises, if you do that, He will not reject you. It doesn't matter how sinful you think you are. It doesn't matter how your past looks like. He has promised that He will receive you and forgive you and cleanse you from your sins. He's the great I am that has come down to deliver sinners. He says that He came down so that you and I can be saved. Look at Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. We're told salvation is found in no one else. Get this. Salvation is found in no one else. This is important. For there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. For there is no other name. The Lord is with us and He is everything we need. Jesus Christ is the name that you and I should love to hear. It's the name above all names. It's the only name under heaven that you and I can be saved by. It's the only name that sinners need to believe in. No other name. It's not about Muhammad. It's not about Buddha. It's not about anyone else. It's about Jesus Christ, our all-sufficient Savior. He is with us and He is everything we need. Let me give you 3 points here. If Jesus is the great I am, then we know that we serve the same God that appeared to Moses. If Jesus is the great I am, then we know that we serve the same God that appeared to Moses. If Jesus is the great I am, the Lord, then we know that we worship the same God that blessed Abraham. If Jesus is the great I am, if He is the Lord, then we know that we serve the same God that blessed Abraham. If Jesus is the God of our fathers, the great I am, the Lord, then we know that we believe in the same God that can see our suffering, that can hear our cry, and that is concerned about us. If Jesus is the God of our fathers, the great I am, the Lord, then we know that we believe in a God who is aware of what we are going through. We believe in a God who can see our tears, who can see our suffering, who can hear our cry, and who is concerned about our lives, and He is doing something about it. And this God, my friends, is the Lord, and He is with us, and He is everything that we need. There is a name I love to hear. A name that I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in my ear. The sweetest name on earth. This name tells me of a Savior's love who died to set me free. It tells me of His precious blood, the sinner's perfect plea. This name tells me that my Father has in store for every day. And though I tread a darksome path, yields sunshine all the way. This is a name that I love to hear. This name tells of one whose loving heart can fill my deepest sorrow. Who in each sorrow bears a part that none can bear below. This is the name I love to hear. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. I look at the scripture and I hear the scripture telling me the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and they are safe. And I feel like singing and saying, I will call upon the name of the Lord, for He is worthy to be praised. So I shall be safe from my enemies. I will call upon the name of the Lord. The Lord liveth. Blessed be His name. And may the name of the Lord be exalted. I will call the name of the Lord because I know He is with me and He is everything that I need. My brother, my sister, my friend, wherever you are, wherever is happening in your life, I don't know what you are going through. I don't know the pain that you feel. I don't know the questions that you ask. I don't know the depression that you must be facing. I don't know the fear that you are facing right now. But there is one thing that I know. That if you believe in Jesus, He is with you and He is everything. Everything that you need. And He means well. He is able to wipe away your tears. He is everything you need, and He means well. And because of that, I will ask you to pray with me this prayer. Just pray from your heart. Allow yourself to say these words in faith. Say them with me. Lord, You are my God. You are my Father. You are my mighty fortress. You are my refuge and the God in whom I place my trust. Lord, our nation is facing a distress and uncertainty. May Your Holy Spirit speak to us in a fresh way. Convict us of sin and revive within us a longing for Your presence. Increase our faith and create in us a passion to pray for our nation. Lord, may You use this period, this season, to bring awareness of our desperate need for You. May You open the eyes of those who do not believe so they may see their desperate need for Your salvation. Your name, O Lord, is a strong tower. When we run to You, we are safe. Father, may You send a spirit of revival and may that revival begin in our hearts. This is our time of need, O Lord. We are calling on You. Worthy is Your name. Glory to Your name and power to Your name. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, may God's people say, Amen. May God bless you. May God keep you. May God make His face to shine upon you. And may He remind you that He is with you and He is everything you need. God bless you so much.
Nothing.